This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. What happened 25 years ago today in Tiananmen Square was, of course, about the students and about democracy, but it also marked the end of the last great public debate over political rights in China. What is often ignored, though, in the historical narrative of that time are the very real economic conditions leading up to the start of the protests back in the spring of 1989. Our China correspondent Rob Schmitz tells that story.
Politically, China may not have changed much from 25 years ago, but economically, it might as well be a different country. Mary Gallagher, director of the University of Michigan Center for Chinese Studies, remembers what it was like for Chinese workers in 1989.
There's this big population in the cities still working for state-owned companies, not making high wages, still having sort of an iron rice bowl. And it's creating all of these problems in the economy, and it's also reducing China's competitiveness.
And then, all of a sudden, the price of everything began to rise. University of California Irvine professor and author of China in the 21st Century, Jeffrey Wasserstrom.
While prices were going up at an average of about 7% a year in the mid-1980s, in 1988, there was a spike where it was more like 17%. And so that kind of inflation hit hard.
In a television newsreel from 1988, thousands of desperate shoppers at a Shanghai department store reach over each other to buy food. Up until then, prices were set by the government. But in 1988, the government began to systematically lift these price controls, allowing goods to be sold on the open market for the first time. Nobody knew when prices were going to rise, and that prompted waves of panic buying. A Shanghai TV reporter at the time interviewed one of the shoppers.
I've taken out all my money from the bank, and I bought a bed. I don't need one, but everyone is scrambling to buy one before the price of beds begins to rise.
Prices were rising, salaries weren't. Suddenly, many Chinese couldn't afford even simple household goods. A song by musician Cui Jian captured the feeling of helplessness of the times. I have asked you endlessly, the song goes, when will you go with me? But you always laugh at me, for I have nothing to my name. The lyrics seem to describe a boy down on his luck begging his girlfriend to leave with him. But others interpreted the boy as China's young generation, asking the rest of China, including the government, to join it. The song, Nothing to My Name, became an anthem to the demonstrations at Tiananmen Square the following year.
I think generally Americans and probably the American media and the Western media focused on the political issues more than the economic issues.
University of Michigan's Mary Gallagher says framing the Tiananmen demonstration simply as students fighting for democracy ignores the fact that the rest of China's population, many blue-collar workers, were asking for better economic opportunities, too.
I think the general support that the students got within the population was much more related to economic issues like inflation, like corruption, like failure to take advantage of opportunities. And people associated those things with political change.
But political change was too much to ask from China's leaders. A BBC report from the early morning hours of June 4th, 1989, captured China's military shooting and killing unarmed civilians.
The noise of gunfire rose from all over the center of Peking. It was unremitting.
In the year following the Tiananmen massacre, GDP growth plummeted. So did foreign investment. But it didn't last long. China's government sped up economic reforms while keeping a lid on political freedoms. This is often referred to as the unspoken deal China's government made with its people after Tiananmen. We allow you to make more money. You don't challenge our authority. University of California's Jeffrey Wasserstrom says 25 years later, with China's economy now slowing down, there are signs the Chinese people want to renegotiate this deal. That's because a prosperous future is no longer guaranteed.
Now I think there's a sense that if you've been left behind, maybe you're going to be permanently left behind. And also with the rising concern about issues like food safety, just the heavily polluted air and water and all of those kinds of things, I think it's not so clear to people anymore that they can assume that their children are going to live better lives than they did.
The The song that defined China's generation of 89 ends with musician Sui Jian posing a question to what many think is China's government. Why do I always have to chase you? Could it be that in front of you, I'll forever have nothing to my name? This year, China's government invited Sui Jian to sing at the New Year Gala on state television, a program watched by 700 million Chinese. Sui accepted on the condition that he only sing this song. The government wouldn't let him. Sui Jian's response to China's government? We no longer have a deal. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
You can hear the rest of that song by Sui Jian. You can see archival video of some of the panic buying by Chinese shoppers back in 1988 and the timeline of the economic events before Tiananmen at our website. It is marketplace.org. On Wall Street today, modestly up, I think you might say. We'll have the details when we do the numbers.
Thank you.